right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. Suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to have as my guest a return engagement from a fellow who is very familiar to my audience. He's a professional engineer, structural and civil. He's done a great deal of research on 9/11, and he's here to talk about a wide range of issues. Joe, I think you may have to unmute because you were taking care of business, and I temporarily muted you. But he's from Texas, and he has a lot to say. We might even start with a governor of Texas who's just moved to partially lock down the state again because he apparently doesn't understand the difference between cases of coronavirus. That would be persons who have been identified as having the coronavirus virus and actual sick persons who have the symptoms and might, you know, suffer, need to be hospitalized, which is an ambiguity the media has been playing upon to get us all exorcised about the growing number of cases, when actually when the number of deaths is remaining relatively constant, means the percentage who are dying is diminishing again and again. Joe, welcome back to the show.
Jim, can you hear me?
Okay? Oh, yes, just you go right ahead.
Okay, because I'm not getting any feedback from myself, but that's okay. Let's begin by saying that my grandmother lost her father, mother, and 10-year-old brother in 1918 to the great influenza. And at the time, it was not called the Spanish flu. And she grew up as an orphan. She never made any big deal about it. I mean, it was something that was only mentioned a couple of times in my whole life with her. She was a wonderful person, one of the greatest inspirations in my life. But a friend of mine sent me a copy of a book called The Great Influenza by John M. Barry.
Yes.
450 pages, 50 pages of bibliography. Absolutely stunning. So when this blue flu thing started, I'm an engineer. I aced chemistry. I took thermodynamics. I understand the electromagnetic spectrum. Once you understand several branches of science, it's not real hard to extend yourself into a few other areas. And I'm also being trained in science and being a science writer now for over 10 years. It's pretty easy to turn on your BS detector and tell who's actually giving you some very useful information and who's not. And so I wrote an article to kind of update my family experience called Pandemic Department about the 1918 flu. And there was a number of cofactors that John M. Barry mentioned. one of those items was the treatment of the inductees. They were housed in tents without heating. They started drafting them before the war even started, even though it was declared in April 17th. They'd already started the draft. And so they were housing them in horrible conditions, giving them miserable food, transporting them on unheated train cars, and bivouacking them on the decks of freighters were full of war supplies, shipping them over to Europe. And the land is cold any time of the year, especially at night. The water is cold all over. And so these guys are all immune compromised. And one of the big factors that made the 1918 pandemic as bad as it was is that Woodrow Wilson used the 1917 Espionage Act to shut down any mention of any flu that's anywhere in the country because it's anti-war. He jailed 300 newspaper owners, editors, and reporters that ever mentioned anything about it. All of the papers, the Espionage Act, and
yeah, your internet's going in and out, Joe, but we'll just cope with it. Keep going.
Okay.
Well, I guess we won't just cope with it. I mean, a little desperate when it's actually, here we go, here we go. Joe, you're back, okay. You're back. Yeah, good. Go ahead.
Hey. Okay. One of the factors that John Berry did not mention was coal dust. And in 1900, the United States produced 57 million tons of anthracite and 212 million tons of bituminous coal every year. By 1920, the total was 645 million tons of coal. That produces a lot of coal dust, and then the ash from it produces the soot. And my grandfather in the 30s was having breathing problems. He lived in Collinsville, Illinois, right across the border from St. Louis. And he went to the doctor, x-rayed him, and said, oh, man, you're a coal miner? He said, no. He goes, I live in Collinsville. And he goes, well, you've got black lung disease. And he goes, oh, well, what can we do about it? He says, well, the only thing you can do is move to a climate with no coal dust. Otherwise, you're going to die in 10 years. So he lived my mom and grandmother down to Brownsville, Texas. And that's how I got Texas roots on that side of the family. Part of my family had lived in Texas since before the Civil War. So anyhow, that's an additional cofactor that he did not mention in his book, and that is that you have coal dust, which inhibits and causes black lung disease. And so these things are opportunistic diseases. It's not necessarily the virus that gets you. It's more the combination of ingredients, and the virus in actual effect is generally not a cause of death for anybody. So shortly after I wrote that article, I found out about Dr. Judy Minkovits, who had been an employee with the CDC and Dietrich and was very familiar with Fauci and all of the shenanigans that they pulled. She wrote a book called Plague of Corruption, and she sent me an advance copy of that on April 7th. The first couple of chapters is an ebook, which is pretty hard to do on a tablet. And I wrote a report, and I notified her and her publisher. I said, you should immediately contact Coast to Coast and get on and do an interview with George Norrie. So they did that on April 14th. They did their interview with George Norrie. Typically, when George Norrie does an interview, he posts it to their YouTube channel 30 days after it's aired. Well, he never posted this one because if they did, YouTube would take down the whole Coast to Coast channel because her information is counter to the CDC.
Well, Joe, you know, I've interviewed Judy right on this very show, you know.
I'm not sure I saw that one, but I've seen a dozen of her other interviews.
I think it was April 26th. Actually, a friend of mine and I were looking for the specific interview earlier today by coincidence.
Oh, I'd love to send make her repost it because that was she's an excellent on any subject. Every interview I've seen with her was superlative. Okay. So anyhow, as things progressed, Texas was locked down March 19th and until April 4th by our lovely he's in a wheelchair and The reason he's in a wheelchair is he was out jogging one day. A tree limb fell on him and injured him, and he's paralyzed, I don't know, from the waist down, whatever.
Really? A tree fell on him?
A limb from a tree fell on
him. Yeah, but I mean, that's very peculiar.
Well, get this. He's an attorney, and he was jogging in River Oaks, which is the hoity-toity silk stocking district of Houston. He sued the homeowner. He sued the homeowner's tree company, and he sued the city of Houston. He got lump sum payment of several million dollars with a monthly stipend of five figures. The number I remember reading was $14,000 per month for like 20 years. Shortly after he became general, he then became the lieutenant governor. And as a lieutenant governor, you introduced legislation in the state of Texas. He introduced and signed legislation that was limitating on judgments.
Really? Reform. In other words, maybe it was part of his you think there's going to be part of his payoff that he would limit payoffs in the future?
Well, that might be. I never thought about putting those two pieces together, but it certainly makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, no victim of any accident or liability in Texas can get a fraction of what this guy got. So there's that.
Why in the world did he do it? What was his ostensive rationale?
Well, because at that point, conservatives were taking over the state of Texas, and there was a big push to limit liability. And so tort reform was a big thing, and he just jumped on the wagon. He'd already gotten his payment, so he didn't want one. Just an interesting aside to why I would tell the man to his face he's a spineless governor. I'd tell him to his face he's a fascist, and we'll get into more details on how all that happened. So anyhow, he does lock out.
You know, it's very ironic, Joe, because heretofore, when he was opening Texas, when there was so much resistance, I thought he was showing a lot of courage. So I'm finding all this very, very disconcerting.
Oh, the media portrays him as a saint. But there were six states that had zero lockdown at all. So he didn't have to do a lockdown. And then if you're going to lock something down, you ought to lock down the vulnerable people and the people that are sick. That's what quarantines always were in the past. And that's what they should have been. But instead, he locks down the whole state.
This is where Dr. Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci enters the scene from stage left, you know, directing the lockdowns and the face masks and stay at home and social distancing, all of which turn out to be counterproductive and unwarranted scientifically. But yet the media touts him as the great scientific figure here, even though he has known since 2005 that hydroxychloroquine is a wonder drug against the coronavirus, that it'll not only cure you if you got it, but it works as a preventative, so you'll never get it, which was published. A blockbuster article about it appeared in the journal Virology in 2005, which is a journal of the National Institute of Health. I mean, where he is, of course, a scientific director for infectious diseases and allergies. The guy's a total sham. He's disgusting. He's even gone so far as to suggest we should never shake hands again. I mean, good God, give me a break.
Yeah, here's the Virology Journal article. Read the whole thing. Yeah, not only did he know it worked as a preventative medicine, but quinine has been in use for thousands of years by the Native Americans as an antifungal, antiviral, and antimicrobial.
Yes.
It's come from the cinchoa tree in South America. And when Columbus came here, he went, oh, my God, this stuff works great. They took it back over to Europe. It worked great over in Europe. So it's a natural product. It costs $20 to do a complete treatment with it. It's been on the physician's desk rep, the PDR, since for 65 years as essential medicine. It's used for a number of things, including lupus and arthritis. But it works. And when Trump said that he was going to use that as a prophylactic, Fauci went over and did outcomes of hydrochloroquine usage in United States veterans hospitalized with COVID-19.
A complete sham study, Joe. Yeah, completely fraudulent.
They took three groups. They took 368 U.S. veterans that were in the hospital that were ill. They split them into three groups. They gave every group substandard care, and they were able to kill 28%, 22%, and 11%, depending on which level of substandard care they gave them. That's what he uses as a basis for not using hydrochloroquine. Then it came out with another dozen, and this is an NIH-funded study through the University of Virginia. Then this is started in February and was actually published in
New England Journal.
No, they don't put. No. This is at MedXRX. It's referenced in one of my.
The VA study was appeared in prominent journals that have had to disavow it because it was so shoddy and unwarranted.
Right. Now, what I've got is it was published on April 16th, 2020. So that's when he published that.
Well, see, this is one of the oversights of the whole project, Joe, was they overlooked that there were cheap, readily available antidotes here. They thought everyone would have to wait for their vaccine. Well, they've gone through, I think, 16 different varieties and are killing a lot of people in their test trials, but where they've never been able to cure an infectious disease by means of a vaccine in the past. So why should we think so now? The H1N1 flu vaccine, for example, wound up inducing brain damage. Gates' polio vaccine in India wound up paralyzing 500,000 girls. And, of course, we all know the vaccines they're giving to children routinely that have mercury and aluminum bases are inducing autism at such a rate that by 2050, half our children may be autistic.
Well, we're already at 20%, so we're rapidly approaching that point. And they keep upping the vaccines. After I wrote that particular article, there was another there was a great online game called 19 Pandemic Spanish History Document. And it's a Chrome 8 website. It's linked in one of my articles. You can go watch it.
Joe, you're breaking up a
very
bit.
Much well, okay. There's not much I can do about it.
Yeah, I know. Keep going.
Okay. So anyhow, it very much covers the information in great length, about a 20-minute-long segment which you follow because it's well-documented and it's got visuals to go with it. So you see how they treated the troops. After I read that article, I discovered another video on the forced inoculation of U.S. troops in 1917. And the U.S. Army inoculated the troops with a smallpox vaccine, a experimental fever, and experimental typhoid. And the reason why was they said that in the Spanish American War, lost 100 soldiers per pound to eat those diseases, and so they were going to inoculate them so they didn't get them. And inoculated them. That's what probably amplified because they had viral content, and you get a cyclosporin reaction, and that way you end up dying from influenza. When actually, what you're dying from is having multiple viruses introduced to your body and overwhelming them. And so, just love Spanish food, even though that was an actual factor. So, and then after the war, they did more analysis, and they said our vaccination was really effective because it was 10% or 10 per thousand to typhoid or yellow fever in Europe, which just wasn't known in Europe ever.
Joe, we're having so much trouble with the audio. I want you to call the station for Mitchell. I put the phone number there in chat. Do you see the number there?
Mm-hmm.
You see? Yeah. So we got Joe is going to call in to the station.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, okay. Joe, that's fine. Yeah, go ahead and call Mitchell, and we'll get you on the air through the station.
Okay. So bless you, bro. Okay, super. Thanks.
Yeah, call Mitchell. Yes. So you can disconnect here, Joe. Just go ahead and call the station. I'll take you out.
Okay.
I'll take you out. Wow. Surprise, surprise. I'm going to take out Joe. Okay. So there should only be me left. Now, let me just explain while Joe's getting reconnected. Joe, I don't know why you're still on. Can you just end the conversation at your end or drop off of Zoom? Joe? Joe, please drop off of Zoom. Just drop off of Zoom. Just drop off. Just leave the meeting. There we go. Okay, Joe's going to reconnect by audio. We'll be able to hear him more clearly by way of Mitchell. Meanwhile, let me explain for those who may have missed the last show that this is my second to last program on Revolution Radio that I came here. It must have been a couple of years ago after having been on rents for a good while that I've loved being here on Revolution Radio, that the occasion for my departure is becoming a part of Real Deal Media, which is a new operation that really was inspired by my past work, especially the Real Deal, a show I did with Chance George from Canada, where we had done 225 video shows that were of extremely high quality across a huge range of subjects, World War II, the death of Princess Di, you know, 9/11, JFK, you name it, we did it. But where Chance had his video cable, the physical cable to the internet cut, three different occasions. So we had a call at 225. I've done a number of shows since then, winding up at Rents for a while, and now here at Revolution Radio. So for the future, Sunday will be my last show here at Revolution Radio.
Hello?
Yeah, Joe, good. Yeah, gotcha. Let me just finish what I'm explaining in your absence, which is that I will be doing a Tuesday, Thursday interview show. Now, most of you have noticed that while I've been on Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, that Wednesday I have typically given a news update, and then on Friday, as today, and Sunday, as is coming, I've had guests. That's been the pattern. Well, now I've been doing these daily Real Deal reports with Dean Ryan, now in Austin, Texas, and Mike Baer in Seattle. Virtually every single day for the last 80 days, they have been generating tremendous interest from all over the world. So we're going to continue to do those beginning next week on a 5-day-a-week schedule, Monday through Friday. Then Tuesdays at a new time, 8 to 10 Central. That will be 6 to 8 Pacific and 9 to 11 Eastern. I'll be doing this new interview show called The Fetz Presents. Or that was a nickname in college, Fetz. So The Fetz Presents Tuesday and Thursday. Those will be interview shows. And then on Sunday, same time slot, 8 to 10, I'll be doing The Conspiracy Guy, where many of you are aware that I've already done 5 Conspiracy Guy shows. They run 2 hours, 8 to 10, on JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. That's the website, JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. And the very first was on the 24th of May on the coronavirus phenomenon, a medical emergency or political pandemic The second was on the moon landing hoax, how we know we didn't go. The third was on the New Zealand shooting, where there was a technical glitch while I was integrating a previous interview I'd done with Greg Hallett, who had brilliant points to make, and that was unsuccessful in transmission, but has been re-edited and completed, and you can find it there. Then I did a show on the Second Amendment and the politics of gun control. And then most recently, last Sunday, on how to spot a false flag, a sampler of representative events, which I will continue this coming Sunday. So you'll get part two, where I go through, I don't know, a dozen, 16, maybe more of these events and explain how you can spot them. So I'll no longer be on Revolution Radio from 5 to 7 Central. I'll now be at Jim the Conspiracy Guy Tuesday and Thursday and Sunday. Tuesday and Thursday, the Fets present Sunday the Conspiracy Guy, all at jimtheconspiracyguy.com. Plus, you'll find our real deal reports are up on Mike Barra's website, up on Dean Ryan's website, and on my Twitter account, at Jim Fetzer. So for those, you know, who want to follow my ongoing work, it'll be on a new schedule. And as I previously explained, while these shows on Revolution Radio go out audio, I have been making video versions, as I did with Joe, by connecting using Zoom, which then have to be downloaded, processed, sent out, uploaded again. But on this new website at Jim the Conspiracy Guy, all the shows are going out live video on like 5 or 6 different streams, and they're automatically archived. So it makes it a much simpler, more elegant operation. So I just want to mention that while Joe was making the transition, but he's back now. Joe, glad to have you back.
Oh, God, I apologize. Okay, so getting back to the events in Texas, April 18th, InfoWars had a rally in Austin. It was a misty 65-degree day. I drove up to Austin. There was about 300 people there. There was Alex Jones with his normal,
bullhorn,
bombastic presentation. Owen Schrouder was there. I managed to confront him over the 911 nukes thing, and he goes, "You can't tell me anything about 911. We're the one that broke the story on it." I went, "Dude, I was there May of 2009 when Richard Gage did his original presentation. You've been lying about it for over 10 years." He goes, "Oh, you can't tell us anything." Well, okay, whatever. So then April 25th, which was the next Saturday, they had an Open Texas rally at the Capitol. It was a beautiful 80-degree day. Del Bigtree was there, and I got to talk to him for about 15 minutes and got some of his contact information. Then in May, May 9th, there was a rally in Dallas, and it was put on by Open Texas. Wrote the Remember the Alamode Review, which is posted at your website, a 2,000-word article with about a dozen linked footnotes and a half dozen linked video presentations in that one article. And it has some
I'm going to try to pull it up while you keep talking.
Okay. One of the speakers the first major speaker at that rally was Dr. Yvette Lozano. She's an MD in Dallas, and she said that the first thing that the American Medical Association's reaction to this planned hysteria was to increase the number of foreign H1B visa doctors to treat the millions of cases and the 2 million American deaths that were expected. The odd thing is that the AMA seemed unconcerned that these doctors might be needed in their third world countries. The next thing was that the AMA issued an order that no doctors could prescribe hydrochloroquine, HCQ, as a treatment. When the doctors in Texas pushed back, the AMA ordered the state pharmaceutical board to not fill any HCQ prescriptions. The doctors pushed back again, And then they said, well, okay, well, we'll allow you to prescribe it, but only if you give us a diagnosis. And the doctors pushed back again and said that's a violation of the HIPAA laws. And so finally they relented. And after they released Shelley Luther from jail, who this whole rally was about, they went ahead and said, okay, we'll allow you to use it. But now they're going after Dr. Yvette Lozano, and that, I'll get to that in just a second. So anyhow, the next speaker at the Dallas rally was U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel and former U.S. House Representative Alan West. And he did a great presentation on free speech, free assembly, and free enterprise, and freedom of religion. And the next speaker was State Senator Bob Hall, retired U.S. Air Force captain and graduate electrical engineer. I had met him at several previous rallies in Texas, and I showed him the information on 911 again, and he goes, well, what you're saying makes a lot more sense than anything the government said, but I don't know there's anything we can do about it. I went, you're a state senator. You can't have a hearing about a terrorist act that was committed 19 years ago. So anyhow, the next speaker was the featured speaker, and that was Shelley Luther. She's owner of Salon a la Mode, the hair salon in Dallas that opened up. She was sentenced to 7 days in jail and to pay a $7,000 fine. Well, when that happened, she was sentenced on a Tuesday afternoon. Her attorneys immediately filed a writ of habeas corpus with the state Supreme Court. The next day, our three pearl-clutching rhinos in Austin, which would be Governor Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and State Attorney General Paxton, all said that, this is terrible. We need to do something about it. And none of them did anything other than Patrick said that he would agree to house arrest if they would release her to jail. He would serve out her 7 days in his mansion in Austin, and that his campaign would pay the fine if they couldn't get it reduced. And it was like, God, these people are just so benevolent. These are our benevolent rulers. So anyhow, on Wednesday, the state Supreme Court heard the case and ruled on Thursday morning that she was being released immediately. The state attorney general could have gotten a half dozen Texas Rangers and gone up there and filed a writ of habeas corpus in Dallas himself and gotten her out of jail the night she was sentenced. So I don't want to hear about how wonderful Ken Paxton is as far as a conservative. His wife took over his former Senate seat from Dallas, and she doesn't return any emails. And I've talked to her staff, and she doesn't return phone calls. And apparently she's isolated herself from anything that has to do. And all of these characters that we've just talked about, none of them has a single bit of science training at all. And science training would be great if what they were training you was the truth. But what we're dealing with is a fraud that's been committed since 1895 when Pasteur came up with his germ theory of disease, which is actually just a very poor hypothesis. And this is what Dr. Judy Makovits goes into. And it's also what Dr. Andrew Kaufman, MD, psychiatrist, with an extra degree in microbiology, and Dr. Zach Bush, who has an MD and a postgraduate in microbiology, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny have all been discussing, is that a microbiome around your body. The bacteria are smaller than human cells, and viruses are between 200 and 400 microns. So you can put hundreds of virus cells inside one bacteria cell, and that's how they normally travel around. Viruses have a very limited life on their own. They're absorbed and destroyed by almost everything. So they like to hijack a bacteria, and then they cruise around in the bacteria. When your body recognizes a bacteria that's dangerous, it starts breaking it apart, and that's when the viruses are released inside your body. They can cause a cytokine storm if there's enough viruses and if your body is not able to deal with them. But we've got an amazing natural immune system that's been dealing with this stuff for, million years as humans and billions of years as other forms of animal life on this planet. And so if we weren't able to deal with those things, we didn't have to have pharmaceutical intervention for anything other than absolutely the worst case traumas. If your system is completely overwhelmed or you're immune compromised and it's overwhelmed, then yes, you can use things like we used quinine for, and you can boost your immune system that way, and you don't have to have a vaccine. But the virus were never even identified until 1931 after they had invented the electron microscope, because you couldn't see them. They were smaller than the wavelength of visible light, so nothing could bounce off of them, so you didn't even know they were there. The vaccines that they gave our soldiers in World War I, they had no idea what the purity or the quantity of what they were injecting into our soldiers was. They just thought it was liquid. And so they would just come and grab some scabs and mix them up in a Petri dish, and then they'd scrape the Petri dish mixings off and inject it into you. They had no idea what you were getting in the way of viral load and what impurities were in it. And every one of the viruses that, I mean, the vaccines that are manufactured are produced in living cultures. You can't kill the innate viruses that are in those cultures without killing the cells themselves. So basically, they're growing in an environment that's full of viruses already, and some of those viruses can interact with humans and cause retroviruses, and that's where you get these secondary diseases, which would be, and I had it marked here just a second ago, flip the page. That would be all of your autoimmune diseases, which are, mine like a steel trap, Jimbo. Okay, here we go. AIDS, chronic fatigue syndrome, Alzheimer's, autism, and most cancers are caused from the vaccine-introduced viruses and the retrovirus components. And that's per Dr. Judy Mankiewicz, who's an absolutely wonderful speaker. I highly recommend her book, Plague of Corruption. It's at plaguethebook.com. And I highly recommend a 24-minute video that she did that's been removed from every YouTube channel where it was posted, but it's an interview that's called PlanDemicMovie.com, and it's available at independent sites that are not controlled by the Silicon Valley boy kings, and so that's a great video to watch also. Then on May 23rd, Oath Keepers had a rally in Austin, and I went up there and I got to meet Stuart Rhodes, who's the founder of Oath Keepers. And once again, Andrew West, Lieutenant Colonel West, was up there, and he was injured in a motorcycle accident in Waco on his way back home, which was kind of an odd coincidence. Really odd coincidence.
Yes.
And so anyhow, on May 22nd, our illustrious Great White Father Governor said that he would open Texas 50%. And then on June 12th, he said, well, I'll go ahead and open it. Well, yesterday, Senator Bob Hall was going to do a program in Dallas, and I intended to go to that, but yesterday, the governor said that he was going to force everybody to wear a mask everywhere. And actually what happened was the week before, one of the county judges was reading through his goofy executive order, and he realized that the governor had left it open to the local authorities to decide punishment for business owners who didn't comply with CDC guidelines. And so they announced that they were going to do this in Bexar County. And once Bexar County announced it, Abbott said, well, that's the way my order's written. And so immediately you had another group of counties, which include Bexar, Cameron, El Paso, Dallas, Harris, Hidalgo, and Travis counties. And then because it allows cities, the city of Galveston did it. So basically we've got 10 jurisdictions in the state of Texas that are forcing everybody to wear masks everywhere, which pretty much puts an end to going to a nightclub. And then today, as of noon today, this morning, the governor announced that he was closing all nightclubs in the state, and he was reducing restaurants back to 50%.
Well, I repeat, Joe, what I said at the beginning of the show. He doesn't seem to understand that the word case is ambiguous. that just because you have the coronavirus doesn't mean you're sick. And he's failing to distinguish, therefore, between having the coronavirus and actually being sick by having the symptoms. So almost everyone has the coronavirus, but very few are sick. And a tiny percentage of those who are sick are dying from it. So that, in fact, the number of deaths is remaining very small while the number of cases is increasing dramatically, meaning the death rate is dropping correspondingly. And you'll love this too, Joe. Your namesake with last name Biden has announced that if he's elected president, he's going to require, as a matter of federal law, everyone across the nation wear a face mask.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Well, it's idiotic. It's idiotic, Joe. Oh, it is. Well, no, the virus is so tiny, these face masks cannot protect you against the virus. They can penetrate because of cloth if they were actually going to do any damage. I have a Swiss report on a coronavirus that is emphasizing that there's no scientific support for the efficacy of face masks. And in general, they're harmful. No one ought to be wearing a face mask unless they themselves are sick or they're immediately dealing with those who are ill. And they actually do damage to the human system. They reduce the amount of oxygen to the blood because you're recycling oxygen-depleted air by rebreathing your exhaled breath. And that means that less oxygen is being delivered to your cells, including your brain cells. Where I'm projecting, Joe, by the time we get through this, the average IQ across America will have dropped by 5 points.
Well, and then I just read a video this morning, and I forwarded it to you. A doctor analyzed the only 18 brain tissue autopsies that have been done on CV patients, and he said that only 3% of them had, or only 3 out of the 18 had any coronavirus presence inside the brain, and he thinks that where it came from was going directly through because where it was located in the brain, that it came directly through your olfactory nerves, which if you're wearing a face mask, you're not able to expel this stuff. You're just rebreathing it, and so that would increase the concentration. But the other thing is the
PCR face mask thing is incredibly stupid, which is not surprising coming from the brain damaged Joe Biden. But where, you know, officials ought to be smart enough to do the research and know better, like this Governor Abbott, who I heretofore thought was a pretty good guy, by reopening Texas, turns out to be one more moron in an endless list.
Oh, it gets worse. I'll get to him, another factor with him in just a second. The PCR test only tells you that you have the proteins that are present when the viruses are present, and it doesn't isolate the virus. The only way you can do that is to actually isolate a culture of it and then look at it under an electron microscope where you can actually see the genetic makeup of it. So the actual cases are probably 5% of the number of cases where we already know we have an 80% false positive. But this is all part of a program that was pre-planned, which is a whole series of events, which is not only the destruction of the economy with the lockdown, but the next thing is the isolation of the individual and the ability to have right of free assembly through social distancing. And then the next thing is contract tracing. Well, our lovely governor took $295 million, awarded it to a startup company that's 18 months old, that has 150 employees and less than 50 of them work in the United States. The rest of them are from Pakistan. The guy that's owner of the company, MTX in Dallas, has only lived in Texas 6 months. I wonder how he knew how to get here. And he wins a contract for $295 million for contract tracing for the entire state of Texas. This was money that was already put into the PPP program that was passed, the trillions that they passed through the House and Senate and that Trump signed as part of an overall system of fascism. And how are they going to enforce this fascism? Because even if you hire 30,000 contract tracers in Texas, which is what the plan is, that's not much of a way to figure out what's going on with 20 million people. So what's happened in Hawaii. They have a group called Quarantine Kapu Breakers, and this was just on the news recently, where people are going out and identifying tourists, because if you live in Hawaii and you've been there for a while, you can pretty much spot a tourist and you can pretty much spot a rental car. And so they're going around and taking pictures of tourists who are supposed to self-quarantine for 14 days when they get to Hawaii. What kind of Hawaiian vacation are you going to have if you're locked into your hotel room and all you're getting is room service the whole time?
Ridiculous.
I mean, that's what they're doing.
Just ridiculous, Joe.
Oh, the whole thing's absolutely insane. And so, anyhow, Senator Bob Hall had a town hall meeting in Dallas yesterday, and I intended to go, but part of my lifestyle is that I like to do country western dancing, and there's some places in Dallas and Fort Worth that I enjoy dancing, and I thought, well, I'll just drive up and go to the event and go dancing. But then when they said that everybody had to wear a face mask as of Monday this week, it's like, well, dancing is not going to be a whole lot of fun with a face mask on, number one. Number two, not very many people are going to go. So I think I'll just listen to this by
Skype. Number three,
so
you're going to do damage to your body by wearing a face mask.
Oh, yeah, totally. And so anyhow, yesterday in his two-hour-long town hall meeting, he said that the state medical board is trying to revoke Dr. Yvette Lozano's medical license and shut down her practice because she was such a vocal advocate for HCQ.
Just disgusting. Just disgusting. Beyond belief. Complete idiot.
Well,
the inmates really are running the asylum.
Oh, our lieutenant governor has a degree in English literature. Our governor has a business administration degree. Our attorney general has a political science degree. So, you know, the top three officials in the state of Texas have no science training and no interest in getting any science training. So the day after the Monday after the May 9th meeting in Dallas, the Dealey Plaza, I came back and I thought, man, there's got to be some way that somebody in this state could do something. So I pulled up the State Senate Health and Human Services website. There's 9 senators on that website. Monday morning, I started calling their office, shut down due to corona. So it's a real trick to be able to get an email and get an answer, because the first thing I do is go, well, you're not one of my constituents, so I'm not answering you. And then finally, if you can get enough names and enough numbers, you can get some back channel ways of communicating with these people. And so I've contacted every one of the 9 members of the state Senate Health Commission and Health and Human Services Commission. And I said, you ought to hold public hearings on the total wall-to-wall fraud that this whole thing is. The disease vectors don't work the way they say. Their treatment protocols don't work the way they say. Everything they're doing is counterproductive to everything that involves freedom and constitutional rights in this country. And the senators that I've talked to said, well, I agree with you, but we can't do anything. Here's the problem. When Texas was occupied by the Union Army from 1865 until 1876, Reconstruction was so horrible in the state of Texas that when we got a chance to write our new state constitution and eliminated slavery and all the other things that they wanted us to do to be reentered back to the United States, they said, we don't want to have a standing state government. So the state government will meet every 2 years. They will meet in January, and the session will end at the end of May. And the only thing they're required to do is to pass a 2-year budget. So in the interim, and this happens to be the off year, so in the interim, there's nothing happens. In January, there's over 2,000 bills, but none action takes on any of those bills until the Speaker of the House and the Senate get together and pick their committee chairman. So until you get committee assignments, nothing gets done at all. So nobody does anything until about February. Then you have a mad rush with over 2,000 or 3,000 bills that have to be sorted through. And then they end up passing a dozen or so bills and tell you this is great. And then you wait 2 more years for them to do anything else. This is absolutely insane. The state of Texas, these people on our Health and Human Services Commission with the state of Texas, they have the power to demand to have a hearing and have a public hearing so we can present this evidence and we can present some doctors that actually have an alternative viewpoint, and we can get some dialogue going, and hopefully we can get Texas on the road where it needs to be.
It's absolutely offensive. You make a lot of wonderful points, Joe. Anyone who'd like to discuss these matters or others with Joe and me, the call-in number today will be 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. And a special note to Bill in Australia. Bill, if you try to call in, call once. Mitchell will track you down. He'll get back to you. Don't call repeatedly. You actually knocked us off the air last time we were on, okay? So I'm glad to hear from you, but just follow that protocol and Mitchell, pick it up. Again, 540-352-4452. Joe, you can add a few additional words here. We got a couple of minutes before we hit the break.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, two things that came in over the transom this afternoon while I was putting my show notes together. A lady that's got a website called Really Grateful out of Atlanta. She does great little 10, 15-minute bullet point videos. She said that since March, between March and June, the federal government had transferred $580 billion to the top billionaires in the United States. Her article is When You Weren't Looking, What the Billionaires Were Doing. That's the title of her video.
I think this is an even more massive financial ripoff for the American people than what happened back in 2008 when we saved banks from collapse when they ought to have been allowed to simply go their way as dinosaurs of the past.
Yeah. Well, then Del Bigtree put up a new video. House investigates nursing homes with five governors. Turns out that the state of New York, New Jersey, California, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, those five governors moved patients with COVID-19 from hospitals where they could be treated to nursing homes where they were in the general population that didn't have isolation rooms and resulted in the deaths of as many as 50,000 people. This is premeditated murder. This is manslaughter. This is a crime. We have five governors, Democratic governors, that should all be in jail. Now, a friend of mine is real big on a hunting and fishing website, and he said that there's 30, 40,000 people that are on the website, and they're giving firsthand anecdotal evidence that says that the Texas ICU units are 95% occupied. And I thought, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so I went online, and turns out that the Texas rate of CV has gone from on June 6th was 1,822 diagnosed cases to June 25th. Of 4,739 cases. That's on an article at Zero Hedge. But here's what's actually happening in Texas. The ICUs, according to Laura Ingram on Fox, the ICU occupancy rate has been constant in Texas since the 1st of April. And what's happened is, and you think about it, this would be a normal triage protocol. If you have a group of patients that are you consider to be highly infectious, you would want to move them to one particular facility where you had one group of highly trained medical staff and one group of patients, and then you didn't have the chance of infecting a dozen hospitals when you could take patients from a dozen hospitals and put them in one hospital, and then that hospital would have a 97% ICU occupancy rate, and you'd keep 3% open for the emergencies that would come in that you wouldn't be able to transfer to another hospital immediately. And so it all makes perfect sense. But what you get is an anecdotal thing. And this is when our goofy county judge, who was funded by Soros, and our local district attorney was funded by Soros, and the district attorney and the county judge in Dallas County were funded by Soros. And so basically you have these Democratic fiefdoms, and what they're doing is they're saying, well, this ICU unit is 97%. We've got a major problem. They spent $60 million setting up a overflow hospital and the Reliant Center back in March, and it had zero patients. $60 million to take care of the overflow patients that we never had at that point. And since then, the COVID occupancy rate has been constantly dropping. The thing about viruses is they depend on a host in order to reproduce. And in the process of using the host DNA to reproduce, they absorb a little bit of host material. So they are constantly mutating from one form to another. When you're growing them in animal cultures, whether it's fertilized eggs or it's, like Judy said, mouth springs or monkey kidneys with the SV4 virus, any of these media that you're growing viruses in are absorbing the base cell DNA in their reproduction. So the things are constantly mutating, and they don't have any feedback mechanism that goes, gee, let's make this more gain of function disease, because the problem then is you kill your host and then that kills your whole viral stem line. So viruses don't have that capability naturally. It can be induced because of somebody, a madman at Fort Detrick or a Wuhan BSL-4 lab can do something like that. But bottom line is, you don't do that in a natural environment. So these things are naturally attenuating, and they're also naturally reoccurring.
Okay, great stuff, Joe. Call in if you like, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call and get you on the air. Come back with Joe Olson and me. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I can hear you, but we don't hear the good doctor.
I'm here, Giuseppe. I'm glad to have you on. Go ahead.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, first off, I've got a tear welling up. This is the penultimate show. We're taking water now on the Raw Deal Fetstanic. It won't be long now. And what a great guest to have Joe Olson on. I've always enjoyed every show he's appeared on. And, man, it's great to hear Joe doing the research and proselytizing about Dr. Judy Mikovits and her heroic efforts to wake people up. And through Joe, I don't know you, there's no way you'd know, but through a weird twist of fate, 6 years ago I moved in to Northern Virginia. I live across the street from Judy's identical twin. And good friends with Judy through her sister, because she used to come back from California because her mother, when she was imprisoned, took a vaccine because she didn't want to bother Judy, and the vaccine ended up activating a cancer that Judy had squelched, and it ended up killing her. And it's amazing to sit and discuss. I went over one evening, thought I was going to be there for 30 minutes. I ended up being there 4.5 hours, and she's just such a brilliant individual and has so much integrity and so much honesty. And actually tomorrow on Scorpio, the conspiracy guy, no, I'm just kidding. On the Scorpio show, Dr. Judy Mikovits, which I now co-host, is going to be the guest.
Hello. Good.
Yeah. Studio
put
eight.
Put a link to that at Jim's site so we can get you some coverage on it.
Which Jim's site are we talking about?
Jim Fetzer's website.
The blog.
As a comment on an article on the blog.
Yeah. Put a link to it as a comment on one of his articles, or have him post it as a sidebar, and we'll way we can get you some extra traffic.
Excellent, that would be outstanding. But the interesting thing, Joe, is you described it, but the funny thing is with those two supposed tests for the COVID-19 SARS-2, neither one is actually a diagnostic test. The little scrape with the Q-tip with the cotton on the end that goes into the sinus cavity, as Dr. Judy Mikovits herself has said on multiple interviews, that can find anything. There's a lot of junk back there in the sinus cavity. And so it's in no way is it a diagnostic. And the whole Serum Logic thing, the vendor itself on the box says this is not to be used as a diagnostic tool. And how many hospitals actually have access to an electron microscope? Which leads me to my question for you and thoughts is, like, how convenient now that the whole Antifa Black Lives Matter spectacle is winding down and the public's weary of it. Just now, all of a sudden, the phase two of the corona is kicking in. Jeez, can you believe the timing? It just makes no sense.
The limitless number of sucker punches. It's how many times can we just beat the crap out of you? We're sick of it. There's a vast number of people in the whole country that are sick of it. But anyhow, getting back to the previous line of discussion, the human genome was published in 2003. scientists immediately went out and went, well, let's find out what made the Spanish flu so deadly. So they dug up victims of it in a number of different locations. Some of them were Eskimos, some of them were U.S. soldiers, blah, blah, blah. They brought up people that they were able to isolate the virus. And in 2005, a rogue group of scientists published the H1N1 genome online. Everybody went, why are you doing that? And they go, well, this is for the benefit of science. This is the most dangerous thing that's ever created. Well, guess what? Then they started doing some more genome research, and turns out the H1N1 had an epidemic in the United States in 1950 and in 1977. A very deadly flu was the Russian flu in 1899, but that was the H2N2, which also occurred in 1956 and 1968. In 1900, they had the H3N8. And so as they started isolating these viruses, they realized that these things are cyclic things, and what they're doing is the virus reappears with a new generation that an immune didn't carry over, but it doesn't affect the people who were initially involved in it. When we were kids, we were taken to parties where we were exposed to chickenpox, mumps, German measles and red measles before in the summer so that we wouldn't miss a day of school. We'd go to these parties with little kids that you'd never met before, and you'd play with a sick kid for a couple of hours. You'd come home, you'd get sick. Kids you never saw before would come over to your house and play with you. And the difference between an impressed and an acquired immune is that when your body recognizes a foreign pathogen, and it defeats it, you have a lifelong immunity to it. When you come out and try to create an artificial antibody response, it has to have booster shots. The USS Roosevelt was quarantined in the Pacific Ocean for 122 days because they had a mumps outbreak, and every one of the sailors, the over 1,200 sailors on the boat, had a full mumps schedule with required mumps boosters. And so, you know, if the vaccines were so damn effective, how did you have that outbreak? And that's just one isolated anecdote, but it's over and over and over. You can talk to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Zachary Bush, Andrew Kaufman, that, you know, there's a number of medical sources that are speaking out very forcefully on this. And those are the people that we need to find and amplify their voices. And we need to do whatever possible to force our state legislatures to have hearings, to force our state health departments to recognize that this is a defect. Just last week, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons sued the FDA over restrictions on HCQ. That's a 38-page lawsuit, and I'll send Jim a copy of it. I think I already did, but it needs to be the article that covers it needs to be. It was at Dell Bigtree site, but that's a monumental lawsuit because there's no way they can dodge the bullet on it. It gives absolute 100% proof that HCQ and CQ, which is hydrochlorine or chloroquinone, are valuable medical assets, and that if you can reduce the infection and contamination rate and reduce all the symptoms, then your own body can overcome it, and then you've got natural immunities, and you have no need for any vaccine. And that's
Joe,
what they've done.
Why don't you take a deep breath while I bring in another caller? Giuseppe, stand by. Okay. Susie Q, join the conversation.
Hey, I had to unmute. How you doing? Are you hearing me?
No problemo. Glad to have you here, Susie.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Jim. Okay, I wrote down what I wanted to say so I'm on point and I don't ramble. This whole thing is disgusting. I talk about it everywhere I go. I leave gas stations and people say, thank you for your information. People take their masks off everywhere I go because I'm telling everyone that they're depleting their oxygen and increasing their toxin intake. Okay, that's not what I wrote down, but I had to say that.
Yes.
And I was, this whole affair, let's see. So I called and I was on hold for over 20 minutes, and I invited Governor Gavin Newsom to leave the state. So as a Californian, I invited him not just to leave the office, but to leave the state. And I want to tell you, Jim, that I sincerely appreciate having had the opportunity to listen to you on the Revolution Radio platform. I'm honored to know you and your work, and I want to express my gratitude for your courage, your tenacity, your wisdom, your dedication, and your passion for truth. And in this information war, you are a hero on the front lines, and I thank you for your service. And one question, a couple questions. Will your programs be available for listening via the telephone? And then we should be concerned and just broadcasting this to the universe, because what's it going to be like walking around with all these people who are vaccinated and who have been wearing masks? We just need to tell our friends. And the Vaccine Injury Awareness Project, vaclib.org, it's Ingrid Castle's website. I'm going to be sporting their poster on the back of the truck that I drive around. And then it's going to have a link to learntherisk.org on there, and also Revolution Radio's telephone number. So that's going to be my, you know, that's, I'm going to be a little rolling billboard. Meanwhile, the graphics on my truck to promote my business are fading and look like hell, because I don't need any business. I'm booked up through the month of September, actually, right now. So my graphics advertising me look like crap, but in 3 weeks I'll have that beautiful vaccine awareness poster in that perch thing on the back of my window on my van. So that tells you where my priorities are. I'm so excited to get that thing on the back of my truck. But anyway, I'll say goodbye and put myself on mute.
Well, you can stick around, Susie. I appreciate all those kind words. That was very thoughtful and generous of you to say all those nice things. Now, I'm going to make a point that we have a call in to listen to line number. I'll find out. Hopefully, yes. I'll be able to report it already by Sunday, which will be my last show here. These FETS presents on Tuesday and Thursday, where the first show will be on Thursday. We'll take callers the second hour, so you will still have the opportunity. It's simply they'll be live streamed by video across five or six platforms at the time, which, by the way, I greatly value, because so much of my work involves, you know, stories I'm presenting. I put together PowerPoints for almost every show I do, and then you'll be able to see the images I'm talking about, the stories I'm reporting, and the, you know, the basis for my commentary across the board. So I'm really especially glad you brought up this idea of having a call-in listen line, Susie. I will pursue that and see what I can work out. Meanwhile, we have another caller, a familiar caller, Paul from California. Join the conversation, my friend.
Hey, nicely done there, Susie Q. Sounds like you're my kind of woman. Hopefully, if you're driving a truck around, you have you're packing a pistol or something too. Hey, I wanted to say that I'm calling from my new home, Jim. You know, I've been talking for a while now about getting out of this country. So, it's your boy Paul here calling you from Chaz, and hanging out.
Just as they're dismantling Chaz, you're their latest resident.
Yeah, I'm hanging out.
Did you
with
get
my
your
new
passport here, before they close?
I'm hanging out with my. Come on, I'm doing a stick here, please.
Go ahead.
I'm hanging out with my new pals here, Jeffrey Epstein and Alan Dershowitz. Now, of course, Jeffrey Epstein is out here because they're not going to extradite him, you know, from Chaz, and of course, Alan Dershowitz is his attorney, and they gave me a message to say, come on out, Jim. All things are forgotten, and you know, come on out and party. You won't be forced to take a vaccine, and you know, we got some of the boys here that are you know, providing us with you know, they're pimping us some young females here. So you know, the summer's beautiful in Seattle, man. Come
what
on.
What a generous invitation, Paul. How can I resist?
Anyway, Giuseppe, I will have my kosher sandwich today on marble rye. Thank you very much.
Giuseppe, yeah, let me bring you back in, Giuseppe. Go ahead.
Well, Joe's making some brilliant points about the scam of these pandemics. And another interesting thought, the criminality of vaccines is that they claim they eradicated smallpox, but smallpox is an episodic virus. So when it came back the next time, they renamed it monkeypox, and they claim they eliminated polio, which in great part was caused by DDT spraying anyway. And so in they claim it's gone, and now it's called semi-flaccid leg syndrome. And Bill Gates gave that to nearly 500,000 children in India, that sick bastard. So, and yeah, Paul, it sounds like your new location, you'll be part of those Epstein Lolita Express flights. So you'll have to report back on what that's about.
We're bussing them in.
Paul's right there at the cutting edge for society. He and BLM make a powerful team. We have a phone call from 817 area code 817. Just give us your name and your state and join the conversation.
Hey Jim, this is Lane in Texas.
Hey Lane, come on. How are you?
Okay, I'm fine. How are y'all? I know the conversation seems to be about all this crazy coronavirus stuff, but would Joe mind taking making a few comments or a question on something off his website?
Sure.
That's early down, I guess.
Sure, go ahead.
I have been interested in how petroleum has been created, and I've heard stories as far back as 20 years ago, you know, and it's basically a byproduct of the earth because it keeps replenishing itself. And Joe's article, he talks about a lot of different things, but it's the first I've ever heard about the there's a lot of radioactivity I don't know. It's nuclear furnace. I don't really know the name for it. Down in the core of the earth between the uranium and thorium, I believe he says. And basically, long story short, that's how the petroleum is created and forced up. But the thing that I'm curious about, Joe, you talk about gold and silver. Now, are you saying that gold and silver is also created down in the core of the earth and pumped up to the fissures, and that's why we found it in the mountains and that kind of stuff? Is that what you're saying, or is that just...
Well, I'm not looking at my periodic chart, and I don't have everything memorized, but to my memory, uranium is like 92 on the atomic chart, and so anytime you knock off a couple of neutrons and protons, it will go to a smaller element on the 106 elements on the chart. So there's a potential that under certain circumstances you would get a decay. Normally uranium would decay into lead, would be one of the what they call daughter atoms. And so anytime you break apart an atom, you don't destroy the neutrons or protons. That's the part that's never destroyed. All you do is destroy the size of the molecule that they're involved in. It's like racking a group of billiard balls and hitting them. You know, sometimes you can hit it real hard and all the balls will split. Sometimes you barely hit it and one will split off. And then sometimes you don't hit it quite hard enough and the cue ball will end up sticking to your rack of balls. So that's kind of an analogy for what we're talking about. We have no control over the temperatures and pressures and the amount of gamma rays that could be existing inside a sphere as large as the Earth. And so we can't recreate the conditions. But one of the guys that was on, there's 80 articles on nuclear education at the Veterans Today website that are referenced in their article, Breathtaking, Solving Nuclear 911. And one of those articles was about another Nobel Prize winner, a Harvard scientist named Dr. Bridgman, who was able to prove that under 40,000 PSIs of pressure, any metallic series element can go into fusion. Well, if you do the 150 pounds per cubic foot weight of soil, that means you need to go down about 40 miles deep, and that means any metallic element, which would be your nickel, iron, potassium, any of those metallic series elements can become fission materials themselves. And it's difficult to cause a fusion inside the Earth, but it's very easy to cause a fission. And the reason we know that the Earth is constantly being heated by this giant source is that if you look on the far right-hand side of your periodic table, you have a series of elements that, when I was in college, were called inert elements. And this is the radon, helium. These are the ones that have a complete outer shell, so they don't form any molecules at all. They only exist as either a diatomic molecule like helium, or the rest of them only exist. And that would be argon. Boy, I wish I had my periodic chart here. I wish I wasn't nervous about being on air. But anyhow, one of those is radon. And radon has a half-life of 3.8 days, which means if you had a pound of radon, in 28 days you'd have an eighth of an ounce. Well, why do we do radon tests for basements as a health hazard in this country? The only way you could do that is if you had a constant source of radon. And turns out, prior to every earthquake and every volcano, if they've monitored it, they find a spike in radon gas. So basically, we know that volcanic and earthquake activity is based on fluctuations from internal fission. So if it's possible that uranium and thorium could decay under certain conditions into gold and silver and copper, then that would be one mode of happening. The other way is that, okay, they already existed, but then the Earth works like a fractional distillation unit, like you have in a refinery, where at certain temperatures and pressures, certain size molecules break out from the stream. And so you can actually take a fractional distillation system and you can isolate the lower and higher hydrocarbons. Well, you can do the same thing with the elements. And so the Earth has the capability, if it's not manufacturing by an alchemic fission process, manufacturing gold and silver, it's at least refining them to the point where they are in concentrations, and then they come up through cracks and fissures, and that's what causes your mother lode veins. And so that's what causes this stuff to be already pre-isolated. How in the world can it happen? You think the Earth was just made with seams of gold that were inside these rock cracks? Obviously, it had to be created after the cracks were formed, and obviously it had to be extruded up into those cracks as a liquid, and obviously it cooled in those cracks after the liquid. And then as the mountains eroded off, you'd get these things out being washed off, and then you have placer deposits where it settles out in your creeks and streams. And so basically it's the same with all of those elements, especially the copper, silver, and gold are found typically in veins of really high concentrations of relatively pure ore. So yes, it's potentially possible. That article was Earth's Missing Geothermal Flux. And the problem I had is that my webmaster over in England was not real conscious about internet security, and my site had some malware in it, and he passed away back in November, and the guy that took over the website went, oh, this thing's just a mess. And without telling me, he just dropped my website. So now all I have is a URL. So now I'm forced with coming up with several $1,000 to find a webmaster to help me redo a website and at least put up some of the articles that I had up. But it was a real unfortunate thing that the guy didn't notify me, and so that's why I don't have that web presence. But
did that answer your question? That's a hell of a geological segue for somebody who was, shall we say, nervous about being on air, Joe.
Well, let me add one more thing.
Well, you got me started, so there.
I didn't get
everything you just said.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lane.
Everything Joe just said just pretty well negates what we've been taught, that, you know, petroleum is fossil fuel and there's only so much. They wrote a book called Peak Oil or something like that. We got to conserve it. It's going to run out and all that bull.
Yeah.
By a humble oil executive called Hubble.
Yeah.
Hubbard, and that was the peak oil theory. And then the Russians drilled a well in Kola Peninsula in the Siberian Ocean, and they drilled down 40,000 feet, and they were finding natural water under 10,000 atmospheres of pressure and 350 mm-hmm. degrees Fahrenheit. And they said there's no way you right. can have water in there. The problem was the water was washing out all their drilling fluids, and so they had to stop drilling at that point. And they were down 40,000 feet, which is, you know, 7 miles, something like that, 7.5 miles deep. And so that's the deepest anybody's ever drilled on Earth. But they speculated at that point that because of the other compounds that were coming in, not only is all groundwater elemental, but all petroleum products are elemental, which elemental means that they come from elements that are created through fission. And then because they're under high temperature and pressure, it's easier to take up space and become a molecule. And so that's basically where petroleum comes from. Well, there was a Harvard professor who had a degree, who was a PhD astronomy professor, and he was from Hungary. He happened to speak Russian and Hungarian, and he got some bootleg copies of the Russian material. And he came out with his theory. His name is Thomas Gold, and his theory was that there was microbes down there, and they were the ones that were making all this petroleum. And so he managed to get funding to drill two wells. They were never, one of them went down like 12,000 feet. They never were able to find any microbes. And so what basically he did is he was the false front to discredit. Hello? Yeah.
Keep going, Joe.
Okay. He was the false front, like they do with all this stuff. I went to the Heartland conference out in Las Vegas on global warming with a room of 650 claimed client skeptics, and then the Heritage Foundation Crossroads Summit in Houston with 350 claimed skeptics. I've listened to PhD climatologists and meteorologists that never took a course in thermodynamics try to explain their garbage to me, and it's like they are a false front. And that's what these people do. They do it constantly, and they're doing it in every vector that you could possibly imagine, which includes the health industry. If they have somebody that comes up that's kind of a anti-establishment voice, they'll pay them off to be only half anti-establishment. And that's what we had in the global warming argument, and it's the same thing in the peak oil argument. But the evidence is so overwhelming. There's methane under absolutely every rock you turn over because it's constantly being produced. In the atmosphere, it has a half-life of 4 years. They say it's 17 times more powerful than carbon dioxide at warming the planet. Well, first of all, carbon dioxide doesn't warm the planet at all, and it's a coolant. And second of all, there's only 1.7 parts per million of methane, and it naturally decomposes. And it's
you made a crucial point, which I want to mention, and then I would love to hear other people, you know, comment on, but about this idea that, you know, under every rock, you know, there's methane. And basically what you're saying is that what I've heard so much before is that we live in a world of abundance. The norm. Abundance is right. The natural state. And there's a certain group of people that Giuseppe knows well that are always trying to make us believe that we can't have abundance because of one thing or another. They ruin everything. Okay, thanks.
Good, Paul. Hold your breath here, yeah. Joe. I want to bring in a longtime caller, Chicago Brew. Brew, join the conversation.
Yeah. All right.
Hello. Hey. So your guest mentioned a website, really, and it's graceful, like say grace, graceful.com. And she also has a YouTube channel under that same name, Really Graceful. So she
graceful,
has some,
yeah.
I when I heard you, I thought you said grateful, but it's graceful to say grace. But,
yes.
You know, what we're looking at in a lot of measure, they don't care. You know, you say in Texas that the Health and Human Services and these senators and whatnot, so you can give a counter argument to have other people with alternative science or data that combats whatever they're trying to tell us about coronavirus or COVID-19. And it comes under many different names. Even the president himself, when he did an interview with Sean Hannity in Wisconsin, said, there's so many darn names of this, you know, at least 19, coronavirus 19, just like the name practically, there's that many different names because that's what they're doing. They're not looking for this COVID-19. They're looking for anything that has a coronavirus, whatever, even if they have to give it to you to make this a thing, because this serves the largest agendas, all of their agendas, everything you could possibly think of. It serves the purpose, including money-making machine. Okay? What we're looking, bottom line, is they don't care, because all they got to do is turn on John Rappaport, Robert Scott Bell, James Fetzer, any number of people to say, look, these PCR tests, this is the history of Fauci, this is the history of the CDC, this is the history of Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, on and on and on. And they do not care. They never care. They don't care about anything, period. You could tell them how many times that looked at El Paso shooting in Texas, Governor Abbott doesn't quite, pass the smell test there, but yet it's a thing because they don't care. They know exactly what it is. They know frauds, and they go along with the frauds, and that's the bottom line. So we have agendas being served here. Patrick Wood, Technocracy Rising was one of his books. He has the website technocracy.news. He will tell you that all the technocrats are involved here. Fauci is a technocrat. All these people are technocrats. They serve the agenda. They are pushing in the phase 2, 2130, agenda 2130, agenda 21, 2130, 2150. They're pushing this in 10 years early. And what does this all have? Sustainable development. It has restriction of travel, like all the new Green Deal stuff. This is all technocracy. This is all a big agenda, and basically all what happens is to push people off the lands and so on. It's also combined, and I'm getting off track here, but it's also a resource grab where they grab all the resources and they take a bunch of resources off the market. And that way, whatever resources are on the market, whoever owns those resources becomes more valuable. This whole thing has got we can't even begin how many agendas are being served here of the motives and whatever. And it's about money, power, and control. And people got to die in order for that to happen.
Well, and forced vaccination is a genocide program.
Well, look, here's the other story. The other story is they've been bringing in, they've been continuing the human trafficking like they were with the Muslims and Central Americans and South Americans and so on before any of this COVID-19 stuff. We know they've been doing this for years. We've been screaming at presidents for decades to shut that border down, to put control on it and so on. We have immigration laws and whatnot. Even under the Trump administration, we watch hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people across that border, regardless of what they say, it's that it's lowered and all numbers are always fixed and so on. So this human trafficking program is still going on. And what's been going on here out of Mexico, they're bringing people through the Mexican border, whether they be Mexican citizens or Central Americans or whatnot. And they're bringing them in, and these people are being diagnosed of having whatever, coronavirus, COVID-19. Then these people are being put on life flights to Riverside, California. Now, imagine, they come across the border in America, and they could be driven to anywhere, whatever. First of all, they're not supposed to be here, but then they diagnose them to having one of these symptoms from coronavirus, COVID-19. Then they put them on a life flight, a helicopter ride that costs upwards of $100,000 each to fly somebody back and forth. When these people are walkie-talkies, they walk fine, they're on their own cognition, they don't have any major symptoms, but they were diagnosed with this. So here's another money laundering, putting money into the Life Flight program, money that they're going to bill back to the federal government and the state governments that comes out of who? Your pocket, my pocket, other people's pocket, money laundering. And on top of that, not only they're just getting away with bringing up the numbers. Well, my gosh, there's these rise, because we've all seen it, the rise in cases, and I'm glad I emphasized that point earlier, these cases of coronavirus, COVID-19 in the United States, but where are they coming from? Well, they're coming from foreigners. They're bringing into the country, and just like they do, think about it as a voting scheme, how they have to bring votes up for the Democrats in all these different counties and towns around the United States. So they flood people in as residents and all these to put more voters in for the Democrats. Well, that's the same thing they're doing for coronavirus cases. Put them in the towns where they need numbers and they can say, oh, look, we got a positive, and that positive could be a spreader to other people to actually get people sick. This is what they're doing. It's a huge criminal operation, and why the president doesn't stop this is beyond any of us. Go ahead.
Rue, I thought that was just sensational. We have another caller standing by. I'd like to bring in area code 518. Just give us your name and your state and join the conversation. 518.
Hi. I'm from the Adirondack Mountains. My name is Marie.
Wonderful, Marie. Go ahead.
Gonna say hi, Brew?
Hi, Marie. Go ahead. What do you got for us?
Brew, are you still there?
Yeah. Go ahead, Marie. Your voice is a bit faint. If you can turn up your volume or speak louder.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you sure? Can you hear me now?
Better. Yeah, very good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Throw out the first pitch, Marie.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you're right on a roll again. And here I've been missing you, and I call into the station, and it's you. Unbelievable. Well, I called in to let you people know that we need to get copies of this so this generation can hear this and understand the ramifications of what's happening around us. Because everything that you guys are talking about is the gospel truth. And yeah, actually, it's even worse than that, because there's a spiritual war happening with Satanism, and a lot of people are being helped and reinforced by Luciferian energy that's creating all of this horror with the deep state and with these scumbags that are destroying the sanctity of the world, not just America.
I think you got all that right. Paul, would you like to add some thoughts?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly where I'm going to have to ask him where Brew goes to get all of some of the details he was talking about. But I do know the essence, the truth of what he's saying is that we're still being injected with hordes of blacks and browns to every nook and cranny of the country. And they actually now are making it a priority to put them in little small towns and areas that are mostly white where they haven't really been before. You know, they're busting up blacks to Dakota.
Can I interrupt?
They're taking them to Maine.
In a moment, I'll bring you right back. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, I want to verify what he's saying is the gospel truth.
Right. So, you know, it's a biological, racial, you know, genetic war also. I mean, this is a big part of it. They're looking to essentially to destroy us, you know, white Western Christian civilization. And this is what they do for centuries. They are destroyers of the cultures, and they even admit it. So we got to wake up and understand what's happening. And I will recommend just quickly, I just watched a great video on BitChute the other night. It's about a book a guy wrote. It's the better part of 2 hours, and it's called The Way Life is Meant to Be. So if you just go on a BitChute, put in The Way Life is Meant to Be, and this guy dug deep. He first didn't understand why he kept seeing all these Africans in this town he was living in Maine. You know, Maine, one of the whitest states in the world. What are these people doing here? All these Africans that seem just to appear like almost overnight. And he dug and he dug, and he found out that all these churches and religious organizations are basically bought and paid for and bribed to get behind this program and to basically undercover of religious organizations, bring them in, bus them in, put them up, and essentially stick them to our culture like you're sticking a pushpin to a board. All right, thanks for that.
And you're adding, Paul, that it's a money laundering operation to boot. Murr, go ahead.
Well, no, they don't care.
I just want to accent that what Paul is reporting is the case.
Except they don't care about money. That's just so you know that. They don't give a damn. They have the money and they're spending it. So they don't care whether they launder it or not. But go ahead.
Okay. Murr.
Marie,
yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Listen, I need to try to qualify this. My daughter's father was driving a cab. This is all being done by design and very carefully orchestrated. Where I live, as Brew knows, I'm in the Adirondack Mountains of New York. And it's God, Guns, and Guts America here. This is like Lake Placid region, Adirondack,
nice.
Very rugged, all indigenous people here. And he was driving a cab 50 miles north of here where our daughter lives and our grandchildren, driving a cab for the company up there. And de Blasio, and before de Blasio, I believe it was Bloomberg, Tommy was telling me, Bloomberg was sending up Greyhound busloads of blacks into Plattsburgh, New York, getting off with thousands, and when they got in the cab to get a ride to motels and hotels and whatever the hell they were doing,
yes.
They're showing them $1,000 checks, $5,000, $10,000 checks so they can move into apartments
right.
and become, yep. Okay, so what
American.
We're talking about is not paranoia. This is for real.
No. They have
all
no
right.
business being there. These people have no business in America. And my God, I just want to just deport them all as fast as I can. All right, I'm sorry.
Giuseppe, you want to come back in?
Certainly.
Listen, I want to mention something else about this. We had no crack, no coke, no heroin, none of this. No. All of a sudden now, my grandchildren are in jeopardy an hour north of here because they've all been infiltrated there. They're being driven out of little towns like Elizabethtown, Lewis, Lake Placid. They're not accepted here. People actually stop and stare at them and look at them like, what the
right.
hell are you doing here? And they end up
moving
further.
Right. They run away. This is the thing that pisses me off about white people is white people flee diversity instead of crushing it, which is what we got to do.
No, I'm sorry to say. The opposite. The opposite is happening here.
They're leaving then?
Upstate New York. We're not tolerating this. We are not tolerating
the
invasion.
Okay, good.
The blacks are leaving from Plattsburgh an hour north because they're infiltrated up there quite a bit. Secondarily, we've got all these prisons, Dannemora Prison, a max facility, inmates coming out, and all their relatives coming up here to visit them, and then they're moving in to create slums.
They have no purpose. They can't work. I mean, they're not needed for work, and in most cases, they wouldn't be qualified, and they're not wanted. It's just
I don't think
inversion.
You understand. They have a very important purpose.
Let me bring back Giuseppe. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
I think that the globalist parasites have, for at least a century, envisioned a plan where they can gradually eliminate the living wage working class, and now they're taking on the middle class as well as trying to disempower the entrepreneurial class of restaurant owners and small business owners who have some sense of freedom. To me, it appears as though it's like a late night ESPN poker tournament. They're going all in right now because they've gleefully discovered that a majority of Americans are compliant cowards, and they'll immediately cower in their houses, put on a mask, and believe everything that lying technocratic corporatists will tell them. And it's funny, getting back to the young woman in California, Susie Q, and they had a live rally called A Call for Change, where Robert Kennedy Jr. in Sacramento, California, in front of the State House Tuesday, June 23rd, and I watched it live. They broadcast it on Facebook Live, and Judy Mikovits spoke there. So did the nurse who infiltrated some of the hospitals, and they're all advocating basically the same message, which is you're being lied to, and you can expand that lies to everything. The invasion of Europe, the invasion of America. It's all part of the Paul, get a kick out of this. The kosher sandwich. One slice is Zionism, the other slice is Bolshevikism. And now because it's the 21st century, it's neo-Zionism and neo-Bolshevikism. But this is we're experiencing the same despicable manipulations that went on in Russia in 1917. And if people do not wake up, this is a war. We're being attacked, and if you like your quality of life and your way of life, you got to fight for it.
Giuseppe, I think you're spot on. Go ahead, Marie.
Amen. But listen, let's stop with the victim consciousness and propagating helplessness in the people who are listening to this, because they're going, well, what am I supposed to do? We need to start formulating a plan and modalities in order to deal with it, instead of victimizing the people that are being victimized by inundating them psychiatrically, spiritually, and on every level. That's what's happening to the white people. You see, I watched the Bronx. We left the Bronx. My father had 8 children. They were burning the Bronx down. He built a house in New Jersey, and we're refugees, okay? People don't understand that a lot of the Americans, especially Italians, they created their own towns in New Jersey, and the blacks didn't dare invade, rent, come in. Look what they tried to do to Trump by saying that he was prejudiced and not allowing certain things to go into his apartment buildings and in New York. And we all know what he was doing there. He was making sure things stayed good instead of turning into slums and ghettos and frickin' havens for crack houses and skag heads. I walked to school on the Grand Concourse in the Bronx and watched bodies on the cement, sleeping on the streets, in up against the building. I mean, I have no idea how bad this can get. But we need to formulate a way to communicate how we can uplift and do what we need to do to prevail, instead of saying, you bunch of idiots standing around doing nothing. Well, what do you expect?
Joe, I'm willing to bet you want to get back in the conversation.
Yeah, I'd like to change subjects real quick. There's a paradigm shift that's fixing to happen. The globalists put all of their eggs in the China basket. In 1994, the Chinese started the largest hydroelectric dam in the world, called Three Gorges. It's built on a fault line. It's defective concrete and steel. They didn't index the base of the dam into the bedrock. They just set it on top of it. Now they're having record floods. The thing was designed to hold 32 million cubic acre feet of water, and it's currently moving. And if you start sliding those blocks across the bedrock, it won't take too long before that dam fails.
Right.
It will
sound
flow.
Like it was just a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Oh, it'll be 990 miles of flooding all the way through the center part of China. It will wash Wuhan all the way down to Shanghai. It will knock out one third of their electrical capacity, kill possibly 20 million people. The dam irrigates one third of their agricultural products. So when the dam's gone, that will wipe out one third of their agriculture product. And the Yangtze River is the river conduit for one third of their boat traffic. And you take away all their boat traffic, the electrical production, we're not going to have to worry about China. This could happen tomorrow. It could happen next week, but it's going to happen. They're having record
Joe,
flooding.
How could they have been so incompetent in their engineering? I mean,
they are racist, and they didn't want to have any Western engineers involved until they got three quarters way through the project, and enough Chinese people fussed about it that they brought West German engineers over. They looked at it and said, this dam's defective. It's going to fail in no time. The dam was opened in 2012.
Actually arrogance. Before they set the first stone, as these plans were being made for this dam, they were advised heavily against it, and the Chinese ignored it and said, we're doing it anyway. And that's how they work. They just do.
Well,
and
then there's going to be a billion Chinese.
That's fascinating. You know that. This is the first I've heard about it. Joe, I'm just stunned by this.
Well,
the incompetence is overwhelming.
Oh, a billion Chinese are going to get a lesson in communist corruption. They will be reduced to the Iron Rice Bowl, and they'll be begging us to help them rebuild their country. And it will be.
I can't wait to watch it on CNN.
And it could happen any day now.
Oh, hey,
all right, I'm going
to
get my
welcome to the new reality, Apple.
Was that Lane who was trying to squeeze a word in? Was that you, Lane?
No, I was. I've been silent, but are you asking me, do I have a comment?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I've been following things since the FBI and the BATF went down and murdered almost 100 people in Waco in 1993, and I've been asking myself, you know, when is all this going to come to a head, you know, and just been countless things in the last 27 years, but what I'm asking myself now is when will the, what will it take till the Caucasian men finally grow a backbone and stand up and say, we've had enough? Now, that's kind of a dangerous question to ask, and I'm not necessarily asking for an answer, but,
it's
you know,
it's a normal,
when is
it's
gonna
a normal
happen?
Question. I don't know. A lot more, a lot later from now, and it's probably going to take more, because from what I see out here in California, I can't speak the rest of the country, but a lot of the Caucasian men, as well as all the other races, are cucks, and they put on masks because they don't want to rackle any feathers.
Is Susie Q still here, or has she parted? Mitchell?
I'm still here.
Go
listening.
Ahead, Susie. Give me your thoughts. Susie.
Oh, well, I've wondered the same thing. Where have all the real men gone, Paul? Where are you?
I'll give you my address if you want.
Let me.
We're all talking to Jim.
I see these videos of real men lining the streets of Idaho with their guns, and I want to go there. I want to pack up.
Good.
Let me, with a few minutes left here, let me import this information here. So, Paul, you're asking, where am I getting some of these recent articles? Agenda 21. Radio.news, that's the Paul Preston website, and he aggregates from different things like Breitbart and Patrick Wood from Technocracy.news and so on. Here's some of the latest headlines. This is today. Mexico nearly surpasses Iran for coronavirus cases. So they're having an uptake there. And, of course, now they're bringing these people across the border in the U.S. Now, he has another article which says importing COVID-19 cases from Mexico. And there's two videos attached to this. And it says, here's a video from a nurse and a pastor in Riverside who say Newsom is life-flighting COVID-19 infected patients from Mexico into Riverside hospitals. The pastor turned this information over to DOG, and I got a link from the NCIS email, blah, blah, blah. Now, what they're talking about is them bringing them over the border, and instead of driving them to a Riverside hospital, which would take a two-hour drive, they're spending $100,000 and life-flighting them over there when these people are rock and talk and they're barely any symptoms. They're a case.
Hello.
Now, what Newsom's doing is he's doing a scheme where he's trying to charge the federal government and put the money into his state, and that state is supposed to spread those funds out to the different cities, towns, counties, you name it, except he's sitting on the money. And right now he's telling the people to all these counties, either you follow these new these mask and social distancing policies or you're not going to get the money. Well, the joke is he has not been distributing the money to begin with. So
okay,
he's been sitting on the money.
I want to give Bill a chance. Bill, you are very good calling in today. Go ahead. Bill from Australia.
Yeah, sorry about that the other day. Yeah, I just like to say, like I said last week, we don't have the masks. We don't have the riots. So we're doing a lot better than you guys. I think the whole thing is that people are too apathetic. They don't care. And these other people have taken advantage of our good nature. That's what's happened. That's my comment for the day, Jim. I'll go.
I think there's a lot to
It's not that they're apathetic, okay? I don't really think that that's a fair criticism. And I've heard that thing all my life, apathy. It's just there's a little bit of cowardice out there, plus the bottom line is this: we've been, in many ways, chemically castrated. You know, we need more. To be honest, we need more violence, and it's going to happen sooner or later. And that's the only way out of this. I'm sorry to say.
I think it's probably sooner, Paul. We do have one more caller joining us from 830 area code. Your name, your state, your chance. Speak 830.
Yeah, this is Ron in Texas.
Oh, hey, Ron, go ahead, my friend.
Yes, I wanted to add a couple of positive notes about people standing up.
Sure.
Our friend Alex Jones saw on, what's his thing, band.com videos. I can't breathe. I think it was great they took takeoff.
They put,
I can't breathe. And
we can't, breathe dot news. We can't breathe dot news.
Oh, okay, good. I can't breathe dot news. We can't breathe. And then, okay, and that's every Sunday. That's going to be a thing, a protest every Sunday in Texas. Now, another thing is I heard that the Texas Restaurant Association said, we're not closing anymore with any of this planned the second wave and all that stuff. We ain't doing that anymore.
Good.
So I think that's a great thing, if that's true. That's only what I've heard. I didn't actually see it myself. So anyway, I tell you what, I have bumper stickers on my car that just tell it straight out that it's a fake pandemic. It's all about tyranny. And people are taking pictures of my bumpers.
Good for you, Ron. Susie, I know you wanted to squeeze in a few more words. Go ahead, Susie Q. Susie. Marie,
yeah.
Bruce.
Well, how about this? Rents used to have on, and God rest her soul, Dr. Patty Doyle, and she used to tell us about all the cases of tuberculosis, the polio, and whatnot that was being flooded into this country from all the migrants from sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East, you name it. That has been our biggest, the pandemic, whatever. That has been the case, and they've been diverting us from this. These people have been the super spreaders, and plus they vaccinate these people and also give them all sorts of different things from the United Nations, and they got all these other vaccines in them. These are the real super spreaders, and no one's talking about these people anymore. They're talking about COVID-19 or black and white relations now. They're not talking about the migrants from all these different foreign nations that already have the worst diseases, including Ebola on the list. And this is what's really going on. This is an environmental thing, and it's coming from human super spreaders from these migrants. Go ahead.
Stop. I love having y'all here. Giuseppe, Susie Q, Paul, Erico 817, Drew, Bill. You guys are all simply terrific. You really make this an enjoyable experience for me. And Joe, you are my guest. You get the final word.
Jim, everybody needs to go to the Question Everything 2020 conference we're having in November in Austin. And
thank you, Joe. Okay, thanks, everybody. Thanks all for listening.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.